everyone.
Love Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Salita, and I'm here. It's been a while since I've been on the air. I think since April was my last show. For right now, what I'm ready to do is I'm going to try to call our guest. Give me one second here. I want to welcome our listeners since it's been a while. I'm kind of rusty, but I'm going to try to get myself together. So just give me a chance to call in my guest tonight, which is going to be Miss Melva Williams out of Dallas, Texas. So give me a chance to get her on the line. Okay, give me one second here. You guys, I'm having a hard time trying to get our caller on. Give me a second here. Let me see. Here we go. Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. We're having problems with getting the caller in. Give me a second here. Oh, the call has dropped. Okay. We're going to try this again, you guys. Give me one second here. In the meantime, I'm just going to basically kind of tell you what we've been up to. Just basically trying to run my business, trying to go to school. I've added another business on to what I'm doing, and that's the Executive Unlimited. And what we do is we go around and we do mini documentaries. We film a lot of different stories. It's exciting to get a chance to meet a lot of people. That's what I've been doing on the side of everything else I've been doing. You know, I try to stay busy as much as possible. I'm trying to get used to this new Blog Talk Radio. It's kind of different for me. I'm trying to see what is going on because I seem to can't get the person online that I need, our guest, Ms. Melva Williams. Just bear with me. Let's see if I can get her on real quick here. Oh, I see. I just realized I had the wrong number. Here we go. Let's Okay, so we're going to try calling her again. Give me a second. Just bear with me, you guys. I'm going to try to call her again. Okay, let's see if this is the one we can call around. So yeah, we've been very busy. let's see. Hello?
Yes, this is Melva.
Hi, Miss Melva. I am so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I sure can.
Okay. Okay. I looked at the second number I got after I saw the first number, and I was like, oh, okay, no wonder I can't get it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I told him to make sure he gave you my cell because I was leaving a salon early today, and the first number was the salon number.
Oh, okay, okay, especially when you be planning on talking this late at night. Okay, first of all, I want to welcome you to the show. This is Say Your Peace Radio Network. My name is Salita McCall. I've been on Blog Talk Radio for now about 6 years now. I just turned 6 years September the 1st. And I've had many, 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 many guests. I can never even tell you the number of people that I've had an opportunity to interview. And doing this have been so much of inspiration to me, and I love hearing women who are inspired to open up their own businesses, because that's really a very good thing, I think, with any woman to open up her own business. But I love it when we open up our own businesses and, in a sense, help out the community in the process of doing that, especially when you have a brick-and-mortar company or a business, that is. Now, I want you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself, and then we want to talk about your health, your title as the Healthy Hair Specialist of Dallas, Texas. Okay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
First of all, I'm Melva Williams, like you said, the Healthy Hair Specialist, and I've been a hairstylist for about 25 years now. And I've always loved hair ever since I was about 5 years old. I've never wanted to do anything else. And I watched my mom as a kid lose her hair due to medication and poor diet and things of that nature. And once I became a hairstylist, I saw it all over again. And being a woman myself, starting to get older and, you know, started to be affected by one and now pretty much all of those issues. But so it made me begin my research. So I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother, I'm a stylist. Most of all, I'm a motivational speaker and an educator, and I love what I do. I feel like this is not only just my passion and my gift, but it's my calling, and I love giving back to the community as well.
Now, are you originally from Dallas, Texas?
I am.
Okay, okay. So you actually are still in the same type of neighborhood that you were in when you grew up? You know, sometimes we don't leave our neighborhoods.
Well, I'm Irving, and Irving, Texas, but I pretty much grew up in Dallas. But, you know, I still stay connected with a lot of people from my neighborhood and service them throughout this time.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's talk about the Healthy Hair Specialist. What a title to have. Who gave you that title?
Everyone I came in contact with, I've always specialized in healthy hair. And so people would say, so you're kind of like a specialist in what you do and in your field. So that name just kind of stuck. And so that's kind of where the name came from, just from the research and all the consultations and having a little bit more information probably than most stylists. So it kind of just stuck.
Okay. Okay, so you do, and don't think my questions are something I didn't research, but I want other people, because I can talk about what you do, but I want you to answer it and not let it be always be me talking, you know, answering the questions that you already have the answers to by me asking them. You know, like I read what your bio says, but I want the people to hear you talk about what you do. Being a healthy hair specialist, what do you specialize in any specific part of dealing with hair, or do you just, it's the whole thing?
I would say it's the whole thing, a mind, mm-hmm. body, and spirit concept.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that our hair is our glory. Our glory shines from mm-hmm. the inside out, and everything is going to start from the inside out. So it's educating women to, first of all, begin to take better care of their temple, because mm-hmm. whatever is going on with your body, whatever affects your bloodstream, is going to affect your hair. And so mm-hmm. once I began the research into diet, exercise, medication, stress, hormones, and hydration, I came across a wealth of information and how those things all affected our hair. And that came mm-hmm. from asking all the women a series of questions and then thinking back on the things that affected my mother. And mm-hmm. pretty much the answers were on the same line. It had to do mm-hmm. with those topics, medication and hormones and all of those things. And so those are the things that I began to research. And like mm-hmm. I said, I came across a wealth of information and how all of those things affect our hair. And so mm-hmm. I focus on more things that are internal than external. Most of mm-hmm. our hair loss problems are not going to be just due to color and weaves and braids and things like that, but they're going to be due to internal issues, things that affect us, you know, as women every day, but we don't, I would say, connect the dots, because that's what I help mm-hmm. women do, that is connected to our hair loss, such as, you know, high blood pressure medication, cholesterol medication, depression medication, affects your follicles and all of those things. So I educate women on how these things affect their hair and some of the things that they can do to counteract it and get their mm-hmm. hair back on a healthy path.
Okay. And I've heard that many times, that it does start from the inside out, your food, your stress, the way you live your life, your exercising, the lack of sleep, all of that does affect the growth of the hair. I have a pet peeve about hair. I don't know. I think it's just me. Sometimes I don't like wearing my hair all the time. I used to, but I find it takes a long time to take care of it and, you know, to do it, get it styled, to go, you know, wherever you want to go, instead of just, you know, combing it and, you know, going with it. You can't always do it that way. what I've done is, I've grown my hair natural, and every now and then I'll leave my hair, I'll put it in a little afro, but majority of the time, believe me, I love wigs, so I wear a lot of wigs. I don't wear them where I don't take them, my hair is not being taken care of, but I love wigs. What I've learned is that some people get offended because you do like wigs, even though you do have natural hair. And like I said, I had to explain something to somebody. Your hair makes you, but it's not you. Some people take the ideal of you wearing your hair natural, that beautiful sister, you're a queen. And really, it's not about that, because right now, natural hair, believe it or not, to some people, it's a style. It's a fashion. It's a fad. It goes away, and then we go back to perming our hair and all that. I promised myself I would never perm my hair again. but do you have people have issues with natural hair and wearing weave and wigs? Do you ever get that? You know, people ask you, well, what should I do?
I have come across that in all of it. And my thing, my take on it is, I talk to people and I find out exactly where they are, and that's part of the consultation. Some people mm-hmm. that may be going through hormonal issues, they may need to be natural. So sometimes going natural
yes.
or not wearing a relaxer is really not by choice. But some people
exactly.
out there, they are pro-chemical. And I find out that they do get offended. I met a couple ladies, and they specialize in natural hair, and they believe in educating
mm-hmm.
as well. But they told me I was
mm-hmm.
kind of contradictory to myself because I still do chemicals. Well, I don't think so. I don't think that I'm contradicting
mm-hmm.
myself at all because I'm not a naturalist. I never said
exactly.
that, you know, I only do natural hair. I do healthy hair. And you can
exactly.
have healthy hair and still be relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
definitely,
I think it's
definitely.
A choice.
I can't believe that.
Which way you decide to go, because I really don't think that natural is for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just like relaxers
yeah.
aren't for everyone. So it's a choice,
yeah.
and it's, you know, depending on what's going on with you first, you know, if it's something that you should, you know, maybe consider going natural. But I never make that
mm-hmm.
choice for the client. I always educate
mm-hmm.
them and give them the information and tell them what I think the best route that they should go in order for them to have healthy hair. The choice
mm-hmm.
remains theirs at the end of the day.
Okay, yeah, because it does make it seem like, well, she told us to do this, but look what she's doing. She's pushing this. But you're not in the middle because you're actually talking about the whole hair, whether it's natural or whether it's perm. I'm just basically
That's right.
giving you advice on how to handle either one, either way it goes.
That's
and
right.
I don't know why they feel the need to have to condemn. I mean, to me, I don't condemn people who wear perms. That's their choice. But don't get mad at me because I choose not to wear it, you know what I'm saying? Or the idea that I wear wigs.
I think
that
it's not only about the hair, though. I think
yes,
that when
yes.
it become when they feel that strongly about it, I think that it's
mm-hmm.
more about them feeling like if you still wear relaxers and you're straightening your hair, there's something with you that's not happy with who you are. And
exactly.
you know, I don't believe that's necessarily true for all women. Some women,
mm-hmm.
maybe, yes. But I don't think
mm-hmm.
it's true for everyone, and I don't think that, you know, stigma should be stuck on everyone that still wears chemicals that we're not happy
mm-hmm.
with who we are. We just like our, you know, we just like relaxed hair. You know, we like for our hair to be straight. It's just like some people, you know, they like to dress up all the time, and then some women, they don't like to dress up at all. You know,
mm-hmm.
Some
yeah.
women like to wear makeup and some don't. You know, I just think there's
yeah.
some things that you like that make you feel good. They make you feel pretty. And it doesn't necessarily mean you don't like yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, what's gotten me with the hair thing, too, is the ideal that our African-American males have gotten to the point where they make a woman feel like crap if she either straightens her hair or put weave in it or wear a wig. When wigs were out during the Egyptian time, I had to get one young man straight about that. Wigs have been out way before you even existed. You can't stop something that's part of history and it's part of fashion. That's fashion. Wigs were a part of your fashion.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You can't, you know, you can't say we need to stop doing this. Hold up, that's the way it is. Not only in the African American history wigs were, that was how it was, period. And most of the time when you wore a wig, that was a sign of wealth. But the backwards and the way, oh my God, you're not a real black woman because you want to wear your hair with a perm in it, or you want to wear your hair with, if you want to wear weave or wig in it. Like you said, it's the person itself as an individual. Some people want to have long hair, and they don't have long hair. They always want it. Opportunity came where they can wear a wig or a weave. That's their opportunity.
That's right.
That's what they wanted to do. They're not asking you to buy it. You know what I'm saying? Purchase my
That's
hair
right.
for me so you can sit around and tell me what I can't have. You know?
Exactly.
And I've noticed our young men have gotten to the point where they really degrade black women. I don't know where all that came from, because, you know, back in the day it wasn't like that. It's a fashion statement. Our hair, it's part of us, But it's fashion.
You
and
know, I think,
too, wear their hair.
I think, too, a part of it is that a lot of times when some women, when they put it on, it they take on another persona. They take on, because I can be Betty or Jackie or, you know, my husband and I, we joke about that. But, you know, some women, they take on another persona, and it's not necessarily always a good thing, you know, that the persona that's taken on. And I think that, you know, that negativity is a lot of times what the guys are speaking of. I think that that has become an issue, that more women are wanting to be like the housewives or the, you know, the basketball wives or just whatever. And
Hello? Hello?
What happened?
Uh-oh, I lost her. You guys, can you give me a second here? Sounds like I've lost her. I'm going to see if I can hang up and get her back on. Let's see if I can hang her up and get her back on right now, because I've lost her. Let's see. Let's try this again. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm going to get, see if I can get her back in. Okay.
Hello.
Okay, there we go. We lost you.
Okay. Yeah, I was still talking. I could see that phone was still up, but I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, where did she go? Where'd she go? So I said, let me hang up and call you back. I apologize. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But I think it's just the persona of what's being portrayed, where the hair is concerned these days, and I think that that has a lot to do with it, and they have connected that negativity with the long hair and the wigs and that attitude and, you know, that sometimes we put on when we put our weave on, because I know sometimes when I put my weave on, I become a whole nother person. You know, you start, think about it. When you put that weave on, you change your wardrobe. You start looking for something different to wear in the closet, or you want to put on, buy a new outfit, or, you know, you put on a little makeup where you may have worn makeup in 2 months. So, I think sometimes, you know, all women don't just do it, you know, for fun or to make themselves feel good or, you know, more. I think sometimes that negativity of the attitude or whatever that comes with it, and I think they have connected that with the hair and all of that. So I think that has a lot to do with it also.
But you think it should?
No, I don't think it should, because I think that each woman is different, and just because she wears it, again, that goes back to what we were saying a few minutes ago. You know, it's every woman's different in how she feels or how she, you know, about herself or how she betrays herself. So I don't think that it should be a problem, but I think that's part of the connection that they have with it.
Now, my question just slipped my mind. Okay, when you started your business, was it hard for you to get it going, or did you have help? Did you have someone advise you on where to locate your business, what you have to do to get it started? I mean, did you have a lot of problems with that, even though you've had all that experience? You said you have over 25 years of experience doing hair. Did you always have a shop like that?
No, I have not always had a salon, but I don't think it was extremely hard for me personally, because I had a great teacher.
Okay.
My grandparents owned businesses from the time I was a kid, so I grew up, my grandfather taught me to never be a slave to the job force. You know, even though I've worked in corporate America, I've always had that business side. And he told me that if I was going to go to school to do hair, I had to go to school to do business as well. And I think that, you know, part of a lot of the problems, we just think we're doing hair, but we're not doing business. But if you intend to own your own salon, you need to know how to do business to stay in business.
Exactly.
And I have a great partner now, my husband, and so, you know, looking back on, you know, all the things that my grandfather taught me and, you know, having a good partner, you know, by my side, it was not extremely hard for me, I would say. I've had great clients to support me along the way. God has really blessed me with some wonderful people that, you know, have supported me for a long time. So, you know, with those things as tools, I would say that, you know, it wasn't as hard, you know, as it could have been. I think the hard part is not just gaining the business, but it's staying in business.
In business, yeah. Because that is a very competitive.
Even when times are hard.
So how do you remedy that? You don't have to go. You don't have to go into deep secretiveness of what you do to maintain and stay afloat. But give some ideals to, you know, someone who would like to hear, you know, in hard times, how do you stay afloat? How do you handle that?
You have to be really smart. and it can't just be all about doing hair. I tell people all the time, learn how to give back, you know, and this business will give back to you. Even at times when it was hard for me, I would still give back to charities. I would donate my time, and I would network with people. And so people come back. They think about that, and when there's, you know, a business idea or something that they're thinking about doing, people will think about you and include you in those things because you have shown your character along the way that you're willing to do things for free. You're willing to help even if there's nothing in it for you. You're willing to give back, and so that's part of it. And then, you know, think about things that you can always do to grow your business. Every year your business should be growing in some kind of way. So, you know, think about retailing out of your salon. Do some specials. Your clients that are faithful to you, give them discounts, you know, to keep them coming back. Give new clients specials, you know, give them a discount every time they refer you a new client. And those are some of the things that I do, and I let my clients know that they are really special to me and that they're part of my business. I don't treat them like a dollar sign. They know that I appreciate them because I show them that all the time. And people want to know that they're appreciated where they spend their money.
That's awesome. I liked all those great ideas. Those are awesome ideas. And you said something that is very key to doing business, especially the hair business. You have to have a not only do you need to go to school for the hair, you need to also go to school to when you want to open up a business and how to operate it, how to stay, like you said, stay afloat, making sure the cash flow and the petty cash is not mixing in. You have to know how to handle all of that, the accounting part of it, the manufacturing, the product, all of that needs to be part of it. And I think a lot of times with beauty salons, is that a lot of them don't last because they don't know that side of it. They just stick to, okay, I can do hair, okay, but what if you can't do hair anymore? What else can you fall back on? And lots of people are not prepared to fall back on anything. I'm like this. I'm a jack of all trades. I master none. I can do a little bit of everything, and I've always been that way. I've worked in the corporate world. I've worked for the VA hospital. I've worked for several different hospitals. I've done a lot of administrative work. So I had an opportunity to pick up different things to do. And when I decided that I don't want to work for anybody else, I stopped working for other people, and I decided to do my own thing. And I've in the since then, I've had several different little businesses that I could probably put in one big, huge business, but it's something I like to do. And like you said, you have to always give incentives to your customers so they can continue to come back and buy your products.
That's right.
Another thing is, do you just do hair? Do you do like the hair, the nails, the feet? Do you get into that? Because I've noticed about the beauty industry, excuse my the way I'm talking here, we don't, African-American women who are beauticians and cosmetologists, we don't deal with hair and nails. Nails and feet. What is the deal with that?
I've known more people to now be into nails and feet as well. But I think it's kind of been one of those things with us that, you know, we don't we just don't want to, you know, touch other people's feet. And I think another thing too is that, you know, when it comes to nails, I can see sometimes an African American person that can do nails really, really well, but, you know, maybe she's a little bit higher on her prices, or, you know, because people are so used to going to, you know, the, you know, Asians or another race or whatever, they're even afraid to give the African American person a chance because we're not really known for that. So I think it's harder, and it's getting, you know, it's gotten even harder for that person to build their clientele, but they're going to really have to work and build it on referrals. And, you know, be willing to do some stuff for free to show people what they can do.
Exactly. And I, with them having the lockdown, I don't want to give them that much credit, but with some of them having the lockdown on hair, I mean, in nails and feet, I think it's to be honest with you, it's a missed opportunity for us to get into that. I mean, if you do hair, what's the difference in a feet and a hair? What's that much difference? There's not really, because you're cleaning dirty hair, right?
You're definitely right. And sometimes you don't know what you're putting your hands in. So it could be the same thing. I just think it's just one of those things that, you know, how we kind of look at it, or, you know, how we felt about, you know, we feel about it. You know, it doesn't necessarily, you know, mean it has to make sense, but, you know, that's just one of those things that, you know, we felt that way. And so, like you said, it's a missed opportunity. But, you know, I believe that, you know, an African American can be successful at this business. She just has to really know how to market herself.
Okay. You're right. Now, what about the beauty supply industry itself? How do you feel when it comes to us not having the dibs on that, on the beauty supply industry itself?
I think that's another missed opportunity, and it's a really huge one. But I can tell you, I've had a small beauty supply before, and you would never believe, I sell supplies now, but it's, you know, it's not very large, just, you know, retail out of the salon. But I've had a beauty supply before, and I worked in the building with other African-American stylists who would not even patronize with me. That is really sad to me, because I think a lot of times we have the crab mentality, and we don't spend our dollars inside our own community. We are one of the races that really do that. And because we don't do that, most African-American beauty supplies, they fail, because we're the business. You know, African-Americans, we spend the most money. You know, it's a $1 billion industry, but we won't patronize with our own race, our own community. We'll go outside of that and do that. I have a distributor who I've been I've been doing hair for 25 years, and I've been working with him for 25 years. And I told him, as long as he's in business, I'll forever patronize with him until he's no longer in business. Do I pay a little bit higher for stuff? Yes, I definitely do. But because I have patronized with him so long, at times when business has been tough and money has been tight, he has, you know, opened up me an account and allowed me to, you know, get what I need and don't worry about it, you know. And so we have done great business together, and I think that that's what we have to do. That's what we should do. We should be working together to help each other in this business, but it's not always done that way.
Exactly. And I don't know why. You said a great thing. We had here the first African-American-owned business, and it was owned by a very good friend of mine. He passed away. His parents owned it. And he was telling me how they were the first ones to bring Jerry Curls here. They were the first ones to bring a whole bunch of stuff that this area did not have. And what happened was when Walmart came in and when the Chinese and the Orientals came in and brought in their supply stores, beauty supply stores, people stopped patronizing them completely. Just, I mean, after 20 years, his dad had to shut the shop down because people just literally stopped dealing with them. And they had the lockdown in this whole area on beauty supply, and it was the first African-American beauty supply store here. And he was telling me how they would have the nerve to come to them and ask them how to use a product they bought at Walmart or one of the other beauty supply stores.
And people do it.
It's crazy. What the? He was like, no, we're not going to share that with you guys. You had opportunity to buy that thing because they had the mentality that their prices were higher than the other stores, the other beauty supply stores. Because I've done those beauty supply stores for so long, I order my stuff online. Very, very seldom do I actually go into a beauty supply store. I try not to patronize them at all because that's
same.
What we have left here now.
And that's
if I
the
can't
same
buy
way
it,
with me.
Yeah, if I can't buy it online, I don't get it. I can wait. Or I use Sally's because, you know, Sally's is not all. It's all of us. So I get stuff from Sally's. Or I go online. I buy all my wigs online. Matter of fact, I used to have a wig online store. And I bought my wigs wholesale. But I try not to deal with them as much as I can because I think they know what they've done, and they've locked a lot of people out of the hair industry on purpose. But I
oh,
see
it's definitely
little by,
on purpose.
Yeah, they don't want us, but I see little by little – it's starting to open up little by
yes.
little, trinket by trinket, they're letting them in. Now, another question I was going to ask you is the ideal, do you make wigs for some of your clients?
Actually, I have not made any wigs, but I just did a beauty convention and met a wonderful lady that actually makes custom wigs, and I am going to learn some things from her. She makes them in a totally different way. She makes them on mesh and, you know, where everything is breathable so that you're not suffocating your follicles. And that was one of the classes they had at the beauty convention. So I told her that is something I definitely would love to learn because it's for clients, like if they're prosthetic for cancer patients and people with alopecia and stuff like that. So I haven't made any at this point in time, but that's definitely something I'm considering.
Excuse me. What's her name? Marquetta Breslin?
I cannot even remember.
Okay.
She would kill me if she knew I couldn't remember her name.
because a while back I interviewed Marquetta Breslin. And she's a young African-American woman who literally makes wigs like they do over in China. She literally does the follicles, the strand by strand.
Yes, and that's what this lady, her name is Rosalind. I can't remember her last name, but her name's Rosalind.
Okay, this is not the same lady, but she literally teaches people how to do that. And she's turned it into a serious business, okay?
Yes.
She's out of North Carolina. Yeah. She said she started making mustaches first, and then it went on to making wigs and stuff like that. So, yeah, she's big into that. And I'm so proud of her that she took something like that, something they said that only the others can make, and she's literally making serious money off of actually teaching people how to make wigs. And I think that's so awesome.
Yes.
And I think with us doing that and teaching other people how to do things, I think that is such an awesome, awesome thing for us to do, is to not to always have what we have and not share it with others. I mean, everybody can't do everything for free. You know, your time, your effort, everything you put into something doesn't necessarily always have to be for free. But at least you can, if you don't even have to give them all your secrets, just a little bit of your secrets to help other people out. We don't seem to like to do share information. I mean, it's not like it's yours anyway. You got it from somebody else.
Exactly.
So why do we don't like to share information, especially in the business? Why don't we have such a hard time sharing information with each other? And another thing I know, hair care, and is a very competitive business, and it can almost be cutthroat at times. Am I correct with that?
You are very correct with that. I've actually seen that, and actually, mm-hmm. you know, have been done that way myself. But mm-hmm. I'm a true believer in what's for me is for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I, you know, that's one of the things I really try my best, you know, not to worry about. But mm-hmm. when it comes to as far as sharing,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times, you know, it's, you know, I don't want you to have one up on me, or, you know,
exactly.
I'm going to corner this market if I don't share this information with you. There's one thing mm-hmm. about me, I've always been willing to share, and I probably along the way have shared a little too much, and I've kind of learned that. I've kind of learned that one the hard way, but learning to share, you know, bits and pieces mm-hmm. at a time and not give away too much too. And I've helped a lot of people along the way, you know, put their business on the map, revamp their business, give them some tools and what they need to do in order to bring clientele into their salon. And so now mm-hmm. I have a financial advisor who told me, he said, you know what, you've been doing this, you know, for 15 years. It's time for you to start being paid for it. So now I'm
exactly.
actually putting together a business class on how you can learn to not just do hair but do business, and that's the name of my business class. So it's
awesome.
You know, teaching other, you know, stylists some things of what they can do to not only revamp their business but
mm-hmm.
get clients in their chair. There's free marketing tools that's available for us, and most African Americans don't know what they are, and because most
mm-hmm.
people aren't willing to share that information. So
exactly.
I'm taking out my time. Like you said, it doesn't have to totally be for free, but it's not expensive either.
Yeah.
You know, the class
mm-hmm.
is just $99, and
mm-hmm.
I spend 4 hours with them. And in that 4 hours, I give them a wealth of information that they can go and, you know, start booking clients and getting clients in their chair and bring their salon back to life.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And that's actually, to be honest with you, that price, it's really, really cheap. 4 hours for what you're giving them. I think that should be, look, the beginning price, how it starts out, but after a while you need to put some money behind that.
Exactly.
Because you're worth 15 years
yes.
of experience and everything you've done has been successful. Why not? I mean, I think it's
exactly.
an awesome idea. Awesome
yes.
idea to do that. And you've taken it from not only am I going to do hair, I'm going to teach you the business behind the hair. Because when the hair goes, you got to have something to fall back on.
That's
and a
right.
lot of people
you have
don't
to
think
start
about
setting
that.
Retirement plan now.
Exactly, exactly. Now, do you have other stylists that work up under you?
I do.
In your salon?
I do.
Okay. Now, did you train them, or are they, you know, trained somewhere else? Did you train them yourself, or?
Well, of course, they train somewhere else, but once they come to something special, they're pretty much trained again. Because I think that, you know, everything that goes out of the door should, you know, be on the same basis. They should have a lot of the same information that I have. And I think once people, you know, find out about the salon and what we do, that's one of the main questions do they ask. Well, are they using the same products that you're using? Do they have the same information that you have? Are they able to give me the same consultation that you have? So once they leave there, they take a lot away from the business of what they've learned and put it together with what you already have, you know, and that's a big success.
Now, how often do you do your classes, your training?
Every 3 months.
Every three months.
And the reason why I do it every 3 months is because some people from the class, I also do a mentoring also for 6 weeks. So if you can just take the class, or you can take the class along with the mentoring. And for the mentoring, it's 6 weeks, and I walk with you and make sure that you have, we're going to set some goals. I'm going to find out what other things do you like to do, or what else can you do outside of hair, and then teach you how to market yourself in the same business, but crossing marketing lines. Like I've connected with Sapphire Hair Company and become a brand partner with them. I'm writing articles for Simply Me Magazine and Perfected Magazine. So I'll be writing quarterly articles for those magazines. And see, I'm branding and marketing myself to cross lines and set up something after, you know, I'm no longer behind the chair. And then also I'm doing my healthy hair seminars for, you know, women's group, trade shows, conventions, and all of those things like that. And so, you know, I want to teach them how to do the same thing. They may not do exactly what I'm doing, but just showing them, you know, what they can do for themselves as well outside of just standing behind a chair doing hair.
Exactly, exactly. That is so awesome. I have one more question, and I'm going to let you go because I know it's late. It's Friday night, and talking to me is not all that interesting.
It's very interesting. You're the first woman who has interviewed me, so I was so excited to get this interview because I've interviewed with all men so far. I mean, nothing, you know, about the men, but it just felt good to be interviewed and talk to another woman. So I was excited.
That's so sweet. Thank you for that. But I have great people that connect me with some great people. And the thing is, I'm doing the Women in Motion for this month and next month, and I was like, I know a lot of business women around here, but I usually talk to a lot of people that's not even in my area. So I like talking to find out things that's going on in other states. Anyway, that's just me. And when your name came to me, they was like, would you be interested in interviewing her? And I was like, okay, let me look at this. And I said, hair, okay, my thing. I've got to interview her and get some tips from her about hair. But now, have you wrote a book? Have you thought about writing a book about all that you've done?
I actually have written a book, and it's actually in the editing phase right now as we speak, and I am so excited about my book. It's all of the research, some of my success stories that I've had with some women, and it's, you know, for everyone, you know, that stylist that doesn't know how to do healthy hair, she doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. She can read this book and, you know, be able to know exactly what she needs to look for or look at when she's looking at her client's head. That student, before she ever gets in the salon and touches her first head of hair, she'll, you know, be equipped. That mother that may have relaxed her, you know, child's hair too soon, now she knows exactly what to do in order to grow it back. And then the women that have health issues that may not know exactly what they need to do, but they, you know, have to still take their medication, but now they know what they need to do in order to get their hair back growing. And just anyone that wants to have healthy hair, great table topper for medical offices. So I'm so excited about my book, and I can't wait until it's finished.
Now, when is it supposed to come out?
We're the editing phase right now, so we're hoping to be finished with it by the end of the year and being published by January. So I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully that'll happen.
Okay, if it does, I'm going to have to get you back on here because I do books too. I do all kinds of stuff.
Okay,
I interview people for everything. I don't have a problem with interviewing people about books. That's how my whole thing started, was interviewing a whole bunch of authors all over the place. But I'm going to go ahead. I love this conversation. I think we should stay connected even after this. You sound like you're full of so much information, and I have so many other things I want to ask you, but I'm not going to ask you on air. you got better things to do. But I want to thank you so much. It's a privilege, Ms. Melva Williams, to talk to you, the hair specialist out of Dallas, Texas. And let me ask you this. If someone wanted to get in contact with you, how would they get in contact with you for any of your classes or any of your seminars that you do?
They can contact me through the salon at somethingspecialstylingsalon.net. I'm on Instagram, The Healthy Hair Specialist. Follow me for all kinds of information and tips. And also for my events, you can look for me on Facebook at Miss Melva or The Healthy Hair Specialist or Something Special Styling Salon. And on Twitter, I'm Melva the Stylist.
Okay, then, Ms. Williams, I want to thank you so much for your time. Like I said, I will continue to connect with you on some, probably I need to really talk to you about hair again.
I need to send you some products, too. I make my own hair care treatment, Genie in a Bottle, and it is amazing.
Yes,
but per the FDA, it is the only product that has everything in it. When I was doing the research, I found out exactly everything that the hair needed. Five different amino acids to grow at a rapid pace, four of them found in aloe vera, keratin, the smallest protein bond, vitamin E oil that repairs damaged hair cells for chemotherapy patients, all kinds of sustenance that helps you to stretch out that relaxer longer, or if you're not relaxed, it gives you that silk press look or silk defining those curls, and also fortifiers that build your hair up in strength. So I have some great success stories. Women that were bald, they now have their hair back. And it's just an amazing product, and we're really proud of that. So doing the seminars, we give out samples and just getting it out to the public. So I have to get you some in the mail. So send me your address.
Definitely. I will definitely email you my address, definitely, because
yes,
I have a shampoo and a conditioner that I got because I do bath and body products. So I just went to the hair thing. I just kind of tapped into it a little bit, and I found a shampoo and some conditioner that I just start trying to market myself. But we can talk about that later.
We're going to have to talk about that later.
Yes. Genie in the Bottle, I saw that, and we didn't get a chance to really go in depth with Genie in the Bottle. I'm glad you brought it up, because I really want to know about that. I think that is so awesome. I think that's awesome. I really do. So, Ms. Melba, I have your phone number. I will be calling you back again. We will be talking about hair again. And when your book comes out, we're definitely going to have to get you back in and we can talk about the book. Lovely. I think that's awesome.
Ma'am.
I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
You have a great weekend, and like I said, I'm going to connect with you again.
Okay.
You be safe, okay?
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You guys, that was Ms. Melba of Dallas, Texas, the healthy hair specialist. Very enlightening, very warm lady. I love her energy. I felt with her talking to her. That was awesome. I love that. And she has a wealth of information, and I cannot wait to talk to her off air. I want to connect with her on some stuff because hair is my thing. If you ever had an opportunity to look at some of my videos, I love doing hair. It's either my hair or something I made. But I think it's so awesome. I really, really think it's awesome to have an opportunity to talk with her. I'm definitely going to bring her back. And we'll get a chance to talk more about this. That was our first lady in the Women in Motion series that we have going on here on Say a Peace Radio Network. You guys, I shall return. But before I go, I want to say something to you guys. I had an opportunity last night to go on live radio on our local radio station and to host a, you know, this is midterm elections, and one of our cities here getting ready to get a new mayor. Pray to God that they do. And what amazed me about what I went through or what the comments I got back, because I always like to hear people's comments, how they felt. I was kind of rusty because it's been a while since I've been on air, and I think I need to get back to it on a daily basis. But I was kind of rusty, and I felt the rustiness in me in my speech, the way I was asking my questions. And I wanted the opinion of everybody who heard me, or some of the people that heard me, they liked it. Some of them, you know, everybody's not going to like everything you do. What the end result was, one of the hosts of another show, talk show that comes on that same radio station, had a lot of negative things to say. And in turn, because we were the first ones to do an on-air debate forum with the candidates. So in turn, instead of being that, yeah, I did a good job, he found everything wrong with it, and then he turned around, and now he wants to do one on his show. Let me say something about me, how I feel about myself. I know I'm a trendsetter. I know I'm meant to be a trendsetter. That's not going to change in me. I like the ideal that I can influence other people. I love that. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But you don't have to take the good out of something that you want to do so that you can look, you know, better than that next person, after, you know, when you get ready to do it. We need to stop doing that as a black people. We need to stop doing it to each other because it's not fair. It really isn't. It's not fair, and it's not productive. You can't holler that you're a positive person, and every time you turn around, you're saying and doing negative things. And the negative things is not hurting anybody but yourself or revealing to everybody how you truly are. I just don't get that. But that's my little rant for tonight. And I'm just amazed at how we do that with each other. We've got to stop it. This is Salita McCall with Say Your Peace Radio Network, Women in Motion series. Our first interviewee or guest was Ms. Melva Williams, the healthy hair specialist and the creator of Genie in the Bottle of Dallas, Texas. So I can't wait to really talk with her, communicate with her more. I think it would be awesome. The idea that she has training classes, that you can get her on Instagram, Twitter. So I think it's awesome. I really do. So, you guys, I'm going to let you go tonight. We will be talking again. I'm going to schedule another interview. So, you guys, take care, and bye-bye.